Welcome, everyone. Today we dive deep into practical strategies to make learning more effective and inclusive. I'm James, and as always, I'm joined by my brilliant co-host, Lisa.
Hello, everyone. Today's topic is one that's close to both of our hearts, tracking competences over time. It's about understanding how students grow in their skills and knowledge, and how we, as educators, can use that data to improve both teaching and learning.
Exactly. We'll be breaking it down into the what, the how, and the why. What measures to track, how to set up systems that actually work in a busy classroom, and why this approach can really make a difference for students without hurting their motivation or self-esteem.
Right, because let's be honest, tracking progress isn't just about numbers on a chart. If we're not careful, it can do more harm than good. But when done thoughtfully, it becomes a tool that supports learning and builds confidence.
So, let's start with the big question. Why track competences in the first place? What's the real benefit for teachers and students?
Well, tracking competences helps us answer two critical questions. Are students actually improving over time? And is our teaching effective for all learners, not just the top performers? It gives us a clearer picture of who's progressing, who's struggling, and what we can do about it.
That's a great point. But it's also important to watch out for a couple of pitfalls. For example, if there's a large spread in test scores, high standard deviation, as they say, it might mean the teaching isn't reaching everyone, or it could just mean the test wasn't well aligned to what was taught.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of how grades and metrics affect students' self-esteem. For some, especially those who are extrinsically motivated, unfair or poorly timed assessments can really knock their confidence. That's why we need to be so intentional about how we use this data.
So the takeaway is, collect multiple signals and always use them to support learning. Don't jump to conclusions based on one test or one metric.
Absolutely. Now, let's move on to the what. What kinds of competences should we be tracking? This is where it gets really interesting because it's not just about academic skills.
Right. You want a mix. Core competences like problem solving or algebraic reasoning are a given, but you also want to track subskills, like decoding or hypothesis formulation. Then there's transfer. Can they apply those skills in new contexts? And let's not forget about metacognitive skills, like planning and self-monitoring, and even attitudes, like persistence or collaboration.
And don't overlook equity indicators. These can tell you which groups of students are making progress and which might be stalling. That's so important if we're serious about closing achievement gaps.
Absolutely. The key here is to make sure every measure ties back to your learning targets. That way, the data is meaningful and actionable.
Okay, so we've covered the what. Let's talk about the how. What tools and systems actually work for tracking competences in a way that's practical and sustainable?
Well, there are loads of options, depending on your context. For example, rubrics and learning progressions are fantastic for defining clear performance levels. Then you've got longitudinal spreadsheets or simple databases for tracking progress over time. If you have access to an LMS, standards-based grading tools can be a lifesaver.
And let's not forget portfolios. They're such a powerful way to show growth over time. You can include work samples, reflections, even evidence of how a student has improved in specific areas.
Growth charts are another favorite of mine. Plotting student performance across checkpoints really helps you see the trajectory. And for motivation, badges or micro-credentials can be great milestones.
Absolutely. And sometimes the simplest tools, like observation checklists or anecdotal notes, are the most effective, especially for tracking soft skills like collaboration or classroom participation.
Good point. And here's a tip. Combine quantitative data, like scores or mastery percentages, with qualitative evidence, like student reflections or work samples. That way, you get a fuller picture.
Exactly. Now, let's talk workflow. What does a simple, repeatable system for tracking competences actually look like?
It starts with a baseline diagnostic to check prior knowledge and metacognitive awareness. Then you define your targets and rubrics, and make sure to share those with students. From there, plan mini-learning cycles, teach, practice, formative check, feedback.
And don't forget regular formative checks. These should be low stakes and focused on giving actionable feedback. You record progress, review the data periodically, and adjust your instruction as needed. It's all about staying responsive.
Right. Then, confer with students, set new learning goals, and archive the evidence in their portfolios. And the cycle repeats.
It sounds like a lot, but once you get into the rhythm, it becomes second nature. And the impact on student learning is huge.
Absolutely. And speaking of impact, let's wrap up by talking about how to involve students in this process. Because tracking is far more powerful when students take ownership of it.
Totally agree. Teach them to self-assess using the rubric. Ask reflective questions like, what was hard? What helped you? What's your next step? And let them lead their own portfolio conferences, choosing evidence of growth and setting their goals.
It's such a great way to build metacognition and self-regulation. Plus, it makes the data feel less like something that's being done to them and more like a tool they can use.
Exactly. And that ties back to Vygotsky's idea that learners can do more with guidance. By involving them, you're increasing the meaning and value of the whole process.
So, to summarize, tracking competences isn't just about data. It's about supporting learning, building confidence, and creating a collaborative environment where students and teachers work together toward growth.
Well said, James. And on that note, we'll wrap up today's episode.
Take care, and happy teaching.